Welcome to The Sales Hustle, the only no BS podcast where we bring you the real, raw, uncut experiences from sales change makers across various industries. The only place where you can get what you're looking for to up your sales game. Today's episode is brought to you by SalesCast. SalesCast helps sales professionals transform the relationship building process and win their dream clients. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell. What is happening, sales hustlers? Welcome to another episode. I am super pumped. Today, I've got David Walter. David Walter is an author, speaker, sales trainer, and his claim to fame came from cold calling hot streak during which he was setting 15 appointments per day for 6 months straight. So obviously we are going to cover that. We're going to talk about cold calling is not a numbers game. Prospects don't need to have know that they have a need and how to book 15 appointments per day. David, welcome to Sales Hustle.
Oh man, I'm excited to be here on Explosive Podcast.
This is a hot topic, man. I mean, 15 appointments per day. I have a good feeling that that's gonna attract a lot of people to tune into this one, because I'm sure everybody right now at this point is thinking like, 15 appointments a day seems impossible. How the hell did you do that? But before we get into that, which we are, just give us the short, you know, Cliff Notes version of David Walter's sales story.
Well, I mean, my story is I don't go back to, you know, gaga goo goo.
we don't have time for that anyway.
No,
That's when you were booking appointments, then we can go there.
Yeah, I got out of college and I worked for my dad and helped him make $1 million in air conditioning sales, which I was like,
oh, okay.
Pretty cool.
Was that door to door?
No, I ran an ad. He was about to go bankrupt and he had like $10,000 left on his credit card. And I was like, Dad, let's copy this ad that I saw that was a half price air conditioning sale and run it full page in the Dallas Morning News. And we did that and we literally got 1 million calls. And I took all the calls and I set appointments and I had the sales presentation I put together, went out and closed more sales. We got awards from the distributor, all that stuff. But after that, we hit the 90s recession and he went bankrupt. And so that's kind of the nexus of where it sets us up to my call, because I had to go find a job. I had a BMW that I had gotten when I was riding high, making all that money. And he lost the family home, the office, everything. It was like, and so I had to get a job and I found a job cold calling at a company called CSI. And it's documented in my book. And I had done just some telemarketing in college for credit cards. NBN America back in the day was like the number one issue of the Gold MasterCard. And they had like four call centers around the country, one in Addison. And I worked there in college making like $30,000 a year, just like taking credit apps. But anyway, I was, make a long story short, to get into the meat of this stuff, Colin, and for the audience, I took this job thinking that I was going to make a lot of money because like always, when they present the commission structures, like, oh, you do this, you're going to make all this money. You know, bought hook, line, and sinker on it, and then got there, and then nothing was happening. Everybody was sent like two a day. You know, like they had a bunch of older people sitting there calling very slowly, and then they set two appointments and have a bell. Ding, 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 I set two. And I was like, I will not even come close to penetrating my commission structure if I just set two. So I had to set more appointments, and it was this long struggle. I'll just shortcut it. I read See You at the Top by Zig Ziglar, and hopefully the audience has heard of that book. You know, he's passed away. He was a great orator, writer. And it said in there to look in the mirror and claim your goal. So I did that for 6 months, and I picked this goal, which you alluded to, the 15 appointments a day, right? I came up that goal because that was the number that would get me all the commissions. It would unlock all the money. It exceeded, actually. And so I just meditated. I'm going to set 15 appointments. And I had no earthly idea how to do that, right? Like, I had never done that before. We could talk about that. Why you don't need to know how to do something, you have to set the goal. And I did that, and my subconscious mind figured out how to do it. And in the process, I didn't realize this till later, but I had revolutionized the very idea of cold calling. And 6 months later, I set 15 appointments that day, And then I just kept doing it, and I got on a hot streak and set 1,800 appointments. So that's kind of the story of what got me into that.
Wow. Wow. What a ride. So from flying high after the ad there, and then losing it all, taking a job with, you know, that promised the world, and realizing that it wasn't possible unless you set a insane amount of appointments that probably no person ever dreamed was possible. And then, you know, have the mindset. I mean, the mindset is so powerful in actually accomplishing that. And the way you described it is like, you know, really just, you know, reading the Zig Ziglar book and then setting your mind set that you were going to achieve that, and then actually executing and making it happen. You know, not just one day, not just a streak, but consistently for a good period of time.
That's not easy. I mean, somebody asked me one time, they said, why did you stop setting 15 appointments a day? Which was actually the best question I've ever been asked. I stopped looking in the mirror saying I was going to set 15 appointments a day. I got overconfident. And that's one takeaway is that, well, and I hear that all the time. I would go speak and people said, I had a vision board. And I didn't. This came true. And I'd say, so do you have a vision board today? No. I mean, we get into it. We do something amazing. We forget all about all the things that helped us get there.
Wow. So do you still use a vision board today?
Yep. I've gone back to it. That's how I became a number one bestseller. All the goals that I've hit. I got an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur contributor, and I just focused in. I had that goal everywhere I could think, you know, on my board here at the office, at home, on the mirror. I woke up thinking about it, and that's you just have to absorb yourself in that goal and think about it all the time, whatever it is, and you can reach it.
All right, so walk me through going from, you know, just getting started in this role, you know, realizing what it was going to take to hit the goals to, you know, get the commission checks that you were hoping for, you know, having that vision board, setting that intention, putting that energy out there. And then what changed when you got on the phone? Like, what were you doing differently, you know, when things, you know, started, you know, really, you know, to happen for you previously?
Yeah. Well, you know, they say anything's possible, right, Colin? Like, people say that. Mm-hmm. But you can't like fly with your hands and wave them real fast. Yeah. But you can't fly, right? So anything's possible within reason. And there has to be like a path, or you have to see a path and think about from the end, right? End in mind, what would it look like if I actually got there? And like reverse hear that. And so the big shift was basically, where would I get all these extra appointments from? Right?
Yeah.
I had two choices. Number one, was I going to find a way to find more people that have a need? And I don't think so, because I don't think that's from the Marketing Association. Only about 3%, and I think it's even less sometimes, of any market has a known need for a service, like top of mind need for a service. And so I didn't think that I would just stumble across more people, which is what most people do.
Yeah.
If they want to get more appointments, they're like, how can I find more people to have a need? Because that's the easy sells. But
right,
I thought, okay,
right.
Well, I do get people to say they're not interested. I'm probably not going to convince them, right? That's a hard no. But, man, I have about 80% of the people I talk to that don't tell me no. They just say they're happy with what they have.
Yeah.
So I thought.
And most people take that as not interested.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Most sellers. So let's break that down just for a second. Is, you know, there's only a small percentage. You said 3%, and you know it's somewhere in that ballpark, depending on what you do, that are actually in market, right? And those are actually the harder sales, because you know they're doing their research, they're talking to multiple vendors, everybody's trying to get that business, right? It's super competitive. So everybody's trying to find as many of those as possible and win those deals, right? And with those, like, it is a numbers game, right? You just got to make a lot of calls and find as many people that are in market as possible, right? And then there's people that are clearly not interested with a valid reason. Like, I don't need this. I already have this and I'm in a contract, whatever the case is, like there's just nothing you can do to earn their business. And so then the next bucket that you mentioned there is the people that say, hey, I'm happy, you know, I'm not interested, but they don't necessarily have a good reason. And so tell me, you know, what did you do with those bucket of people to get them to actually book appointments?
Well, that was the secret. Was I was like, how can I get these people to switch? And actually, the people that I coach now, they call it a mental shift. And the idea that there's two things that are possible at the same time. That on one hand, you can be happy with your current provider. But on the other hand, there could be something better out there. And that was the key right there. Is that if you could talk to people and get them to agree that there could be something better out there. Like, okay, you're happy with the number of people that you have listening to your podcast right now, Colin, right?
Yeah, I'm happy.
But you could get more people also. There could be a way to get to triple the number of listeners.
Yeah, I'm interested now. I just went from happy, not interested, to curious and interested.
Exactly. And it was so easy. That's all you have to do. Not everybody's going to agree. But what I call that is getting permission to pitch them. In other words, you just say you have to agree with them and you have to understand them. And I got that from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, right? I'm listening to you. I get you, Colin. I know you've worked very hard. You worked with certain vendors that have helped you get where you are now on your podcast. And that's wonderful. Right. And you probably don't want to change from those vendors. I get it. But isn't it possible? You know, and sometimes I have to really make it. I'm like, if a better way fell out of the sky in your lap, Colin, that you could get more listeners faster, better listeners that would be engaging with you, you know, blah, 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 blah. Would you at least look at it? You know, and that's it. I mean, that is the secret to switching those people around. I mean, after that, you need this entire system to try to book the appointment. But that was the key. And I realized that those people were malleable, right? They were malleable. And that's the one thing, is that a lot of people think they're simply calling to find a no or a yes, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the reality of the world. You know, I could be a no to you, but I could be a yes to somebody else, all in the way that I approach you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The way you approach them. And really the big secret in the whole process is very simple. When I approach you, Colin, to talk, if I couch all my phrases and my questions and things that I know that you most likely agree with, then I can have a long conversation with you.
Yeah.
And that's the key right there, is not saying stupid things that get no answers, but really having forethought and thinking out all of your phrases and questions that you'd ask, and knowing that most people would probably say, like, for example, do you keep your options open if you saw a better way? Would you, for the future? And by adding those little things on and adding the future at the end, people would sign off.
There's less pressure. They don't feel the need to be as defensive. Like, oh, you're not definitively asking me to change something right now. You're just asking me, you know, am I open to the possibility? You know, it's a lot easier to say yes to that. And so what's interesting is, you know, you got to really know the people and what matters to them, right? To be able to use the proper phrases, like you mentioned, to get them to be curious or to pique their interest to continue the conversation. And also one thing that you said too, which is a huge mindset piece in Sales Hustlers. So this thing that David mentioned is really important, you know, is that, you know, when you're talking to these people, you know, the goal is to have a conversation. Right, to further that conversation. So many people get caught up, like, the goal is to book the meeting. And when you go into it with the goal of, like, the goal, you need to book the meeting. But when you go into it as the goal to book the meeting, people tend to, like, force things, and they get into those lines of questions that are very definitive, and they're not going to have dynamic conversations with that large percentage of people that, you know, maybe aren't interested, but without a good reason.
And that's having a conversation is very hard to do. It's like when I coach people, it's the number one mistake that they do. They get in on just like they're on a talk. They're on a soapbox and they're just going and going and going and going. And I learned a lesson. I did that. I had one call where I was on a roll, man. I got him. I got him on the phone. He's listening. He said, yes. I went through the whole thing. And I was like, all right, so what time can we come out there next week? And he's like, whoa, David, you haven't asked me any questions. How could you possibly recommend something to me? And I tried to rebut him, but I couldn't rebut him. It was lost. But it was a wonderful call because that was the most powerful lesson. If you don't ask any questions, how can you know that you can offer something better? And really what he was saying is you didn't listen to me.
Mm.
And people love to talk.
And that's an important piece right there. Two things, right? So number one, sometimes you got to have those experiences to learn from them, to like improve and get better the next time, right? I bet you after that call, you didn't talk as much. You listened more. You asked more questions, right?
You have to force yourself to stop.
Yeah, yeah. And for sellers, it's equally as important for you as it is for them. Like, you want to waste your time with somebody who's not even really listening to you and just says yes, and then, you know, you're going to waste your time booking that appointment. It's going to be a deal that never closes. You know, like, you got to, you know, ask the right questions as much as for them as for you. Is it worth my time to book the meeting? Is it worth moving forward for me? Or is there some other people that I'm better, you know, suited to, you know, spend my time with?
Yeah, you don't want to waste your time. That's a lot of people think that setting meetings with people that are start out happy and then you kind of draw their mind out and like get them thinking and then they decide that they'll meet with somebody, that is a waste of time. And it's not a waste of time as long as you have something better. That's like the other secret is if I'm trying to set all these appointments, Colin, and I don't like preemptive appointments, right? Before these people actually have a need. It's preemptive because they do have a need. They just don't know it, right? They have a problem and they don't see it as a problem. That's why they don't think they have a need. But unless you actually have a better way than everybody else, if I'm a plumber and I do things the way everybody else does, or an IT company, I do way things everybody else does, I get out there and I get these preemptive appointments, it will be a waste of time. You have to think, and that's why when I do my coaching is the first thing we do is we find out what their unique selling proposition is. And most people, let's see, we talked about Jeffrey Gittimer. He's big on saying that nobody has a USP. They think they do, but they don't.
And so why is that?
Because it's hard to change. And I try to get people to understand this. Colin, and for people listening, think about this for a minute. Don't we all hate to change? Like,
some people are more open to it than others. You know, but for the most part, people don't like to change unless they have significant good reason.
Exactly. And so what I try to get people to realize, the business owner and the prospect are of the same mind. You go out to sell, they don't want to change. A lot of them would like to find a better way to do it and then get their current vendor to just adopt that change, right? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
they want to learn something new, but they don't want to actually change the way they do it. And the problem is, I always say, look, somebody's got to set the example, right? Mm-hmm. It might as well be the business owner. They take the first step by changing and saying, look, we've changed and I've changed to something better. And now I can ask you to change because I changed. But that's the problem is nobody. And that's what we talk about is, and sometimes it could be little changes. It doesn't have to be a grand shift in your business model. It's things that you don't even realize you're doing that are different that could stand out. And the other guy's not doing it. That's it.
Right, right.
Then you can educate. Right. That's the whole idea of this type of appointment setting is to come out there and then simply educate them about something they don't know.
Right, right. And the thing is, you know, most people don't like to change and you're going to lose most deals to them doing nothing, right? Or trying to improve what they currently have based on what they learned from you, right? And maybe the four or five other vendors they might be talking to. So you've got to educate them enough where, you know, the value is significant enough to go through with however uncomfortable changing is and trying to really minimize, you know, the pain of change, right? Because they typically think like it's going to cost me more. It's going to take time. It's going to take me away from doing these other things. And maybe it's just not quite worth enough going through all that. right? So how do you convince them to move forward, you know, when people don't like change?
Well, what I, one question I like to ask, especially if they want it, they think that they're going to try to get their current company to do it, is I say, well, you know, it's like IT. Your current vendor knows your system. You feel comfortable. You feel all warm and cozy with that relationship.
Yeah.
You like our new offer of the cloud, right? You like that new offer of everything in the cloud and not having to worry about being hacked and all that stuff and be able to be mobile.
Yeah.
But you want you want your new company to do it. So here's what I tell them. And if you're listening, guys, write this down. This is like my coolest rebuttal. I tell people, look, your current vendor knows your system. And they're like, yeah, exactly. They know the system. But they don't know our system. We know the cloud, and we've been doing the cloud for 5 years. So it doesn't matter that we don't know your system, because we're not going to use your system. We're replacing it with our system that we know. So who knows your system? We do. We know your new system. They know your old system. And it blows people's minds when they think about it. And you can adapt that to anything. You know, I was starting in my own company, and I had no customers. And I was a meeting with this law firm, and she was convinced, she loved our disaster recovery. It was state of the art, right? And they didn't have it. Nobody else had it. And we'd gone through all these steps, and she was thinking about signing up. And so she asked the question that everybody asked: how many other customers do you have, right? How many references, testimonials? And me and my partner, we looked at each other and we laughed. We just laughed. We both laughed. And we said, we don't have any customers, you know. So being open and brutally honest, but you know, this is a good thing for you. And she's like, really? She's like, yeah. First of all, I have all these employees. I've been in the industry for 20 years. All my people have been. So we know the system. We just don't have current customers. We've all worked on customers like you. We have the experience. I said, but you don't want somebody to show up and sell you this that has all these customers and everything, because they're an old established company and they don't adopt new technology. Only the new guy on the block is going to, like us, is going to have the new technology.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people think like being small or being new is a bad thing, but in a lot of cases, it's a good thing, because, you know, sometimes the bigger companies, the bigger dogs on the street, they're not as nimble. They can't be as creative. In a lot of cases, they don't take care of the customer the way that the customer wants to be taken care of. So you can actually use that to your advantage. And, you know, with a proper mindset, that's a benefit. That's a pro, not a negative thing. And, you know, rather than coming up with some BS, you know, response when you got asked that question, being brutally honest and authentic with your customer is a way to, like, hey, you know, this guy's gonna, you know, he's gonna keep it real with us. He's gonna tell us the truth, even if it's not what we want to hear. And that's the type of vendor that we want to work with.
And what's powerful, Colin, is that is a blueprint for how to deal with almost any objection. Literally, I call it the glass is half empty and half full. And you just have to switch your focus and think about it. And you think about, maybe you're the glass half empty and you think it's the negative, but there's always a positive there. And when I go with people, I literally go on overcoming objections. I go the full gambit. I talk about why what they do is so great, and I compliment it, and I compliment them for going that route. And then I switch, and this is my model in my training. I switch and say, well, you know, everybody doesn't do it that way. You know, a lot of people have found that doing it this other way has advantages. And then I go, the glass is half full over here. And you can do that for any rebuttal.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go, you know, telling them why, you know, what they have is dog shit. It's not going to help you.
That's the problem.
Right.
That's how literally, that's how most people sell. That's how they sell.
Yeah, because they're trying to just say, hey, what you have is crap, and what we have is better. So let's go on this journey together. And that just doesn't work. You know, like, for all you know, they're the ones that picked that solution, you know, and they, you know, who knows what was involved, how painful that change was, it's, you know, like, how pissed off they are. Yeah. Yeah.
That's friends now. I mean,
yeah.
That's, I mean, so,
yeah. So, you know, I mean, definitely saying, hey, you know, that's great. You know, that you have that, or that's a great option, but you know, might you maybe be open to this possibility, you know, and that's how you can move the conversation forward and get to a place where you're booking 15 appointments per day.
Well, anything's possible. I've set even 30 in one day.
Oh my gosh.
30. I think it's possible.
How many calls did you have to book 30? And how long did it take you to book 30? Like, just, you know, break down the math there.
It took me about 8 hours to book 30.
8 hours to book 30. How many conversations in booking the 30? And what was the conversation to appointment conversion?
Well, when I set 15 a day, I was talking to 40 people a day. So 40 prospects a day would net me 15 appointments on average. But when I set 30 in one day, the odds were, I think it was almost 50-50. 50% of the people I talked to set an appointment. So this is when I ran my cold call center that I ran for 13 years. It was one day that I did that myself. And so like anything's possible. I mean, I think people could set 50. I mean, Seamless AI, have you heard of that before?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a way to get leads faster and you qualify them. But as long as you qualify your list and you know, you have to know the objections, right? Because I've even come up once for my brother-in-law or my best friend does this. And I just go and say, that's wonderful. And you know, having your friend do it, you know, you don't have to worry about trust. And I go all the, and I said, but let me ask you a question. Are you getting the friend special? And they're like, what's that? I was like, well, your friend obviously giving you a special rate because you're a friend. And they're like, I don't know. I say, wouldn't it be a shocking if a stranger that you don't even know gave you a better deal than your friend? And then you start putting that doubt in their head.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, you know what? I don't think you're going to switch my friend. He's probably giving you the friend special. But how about
wait. Don't go, David.
Let's do an audit and see. Let me just come out there and give you some numbers. Yeah. So literally, you can, I mean, any situation, if you're prepared for it, you can flip it, flip the script and get people thinking and like, maybe we should meet.
You want to know one of my personal favorites is right here, right? Everybody's heard this one, right? Oh, I'm loyal to my vendor. I'm loyal to my vendor. Hey, you know, I totally understand. You probably have a fantastic vendor, but you're more loyal to your company than your vendor, right? They're like, oh, yeah. Well, would you be open to the fact that there might be something better and are you willing to take a look at that? They're like, well, I do want to keep my job.
Or are you loyal to yourself? That's another angle. Yeah. Are you more loyal to yourself than the vendor or to the company? So you have to change their thinking. They're dialed in. They're focusing on one thing. You're just changing their focus and getting them to see another happening.
Yeah. Peaking the interest, you know, just sprinkling a little bit of curiosity to foster some willingness to continue to talk to you. That's it. That's the secret sauce, right?
Keeping the conversation going. Saying something, like I said before, saying something that you know they're going to be. If I tell them that their system's great, they're going to love that, right? If I say anything positive, compliment them, they're going to say yes. If I ask them if they keep their options open, you know, I like to say, do you do your due diligence, right? And like you said, knowing your audience. If I'm calling like CFOs and controllers, due diligence is the world they live in, right?
Yeah.
And so I know you like to do your due diligence. Let me ask you, when was the last time you compared? Oh, no, it's been a couple of years. Maybe we should, just to check that box, come out and give you a fresh proposal. So just anything. You know your audience well. It's like knowing that audience is probably the most important thing.
Yeah. Or hey, you know, technology has come a long way since you probably, you know, last looked at this. Are you open to taking a look at some new things, right? Right. Yeah. Hey, David, this has been fantastic, man. Really appreciate this conversation. Love this topic. Tons of value for the sales hustlers here looking to increase, you know, how many appointments they're booking per day. You know, I think the big takeaway is like the mindset, you know, having the proper mindset, focusing on those right people that most people are just brushing off because they think they're genuinely not interested. But before we let you go, any final thoughts? What do you have for folks? What are we going to drop in the show notes for them?
Oh, well, you said you like to give away something to the audience. And I thought would be really cool is I came up with the diagram of a perfect cold call. And so I'll be giving that to you, and everybody listening can get a copy of that. And it just outlines the basic things that you need to do to have a perfect cold call.
Boom. There we go. So we will drop the link there for the diagram of the perfect cold call, courtesy of David Walter. It'll be in the show notes for you, Sales Hustlers. If you enjoyed today's episode, write us a review, share the show with your friends, and always, we're listening for your feedback.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sales Hustle. Are you a sales professional looking to take your sales career to the next level? If the answer is yes, then I want you to go over to salescast.co. Check us out, and if you feel that you are ready, set up a time to talk with me and my co-founder, Chris. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell, and if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review and share the podcast with your friends.